be late, because it is 8:31 p.m. Tuesday, September 21st, 2021. The last day of summer here in the Northern Hemisphere. This is the Fakeologist speaking. This is episode FAK380. I know I almost never announce the episode number. I don't know if it's a good idea or a bad idea, but we titled it Marcus and Bob for the simple reason that we have Marcus and Bob here. And it's been a while since I've been broadcasting. Well, on this, no mic, no camera. Ah, rats. Yeah, so unfortunately, I've been away from the studio doing different things, but I have been doing audio chats and phone calls when it is possible. So let me get right into the show, because we're having technical issues with one of the guests, but we, as always, have Marcus here on time and sounding good. Marcus, hello.
Reporting for duty, sir. Hello, everyone. And as far as Bob goes, if he just has a cell phone, from what it sounds like, don't you have a call-in number?
Well, that's the other part of the story. The VoIP service I'm using is being DDoSed right now as we speak. It's been a week. And if you go to their Twitter, I'll give you the – Marcus loves doing research. Their Twitter is VOIPMS, I believe.
Okay.
And they've been attacked for the last 5 days. So whoever's doing it to them is completely destroying their business. It's really disgusting.
Yeah, it's horrible. Yeah.
And that's really. I think it's a pretty substantial business. Now, obviously, they've made some technical. They haven't done their technical homework, because if someone can DDoS you to death, then that's not good.
Yeah, and then that's the thing. Like, Cloudflare offers a pretty robust, free DDoS protection.
Mm-hmm. And they just switched to it. During their tsunami of DDoS attacks, they switched to Cloudflare to try and get things going. But I don't think it's working. Mm. And I really wanted to get Bob on the phone, but... you can try calling in, Bob. The number is 902-400-1984, but I can't dial out. But you can try and dial in, but I don't think you're going to get through, because...
What's your American number? I'll try on my end to see if it's working.
It's 810-666.
Oh, hold on. You're too fast.
All right. I got to make sure it's open. I don't even think I can log into the dashboard. Let me try. Because they are just being slaughtered right now. Oh, and they have to fill out a caption now. That's great. This is great radio, by the way. Let's talk technical crap all night long.
We promise it'll be worth the wait.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. Well, I'm not kidding. I got some bombshell stuff to talk about. So yeah, definitely worth the wait. Or go to the bathroom, or go get a coffee, or whatever you're
into.
Well,
I got in the control panel, so that's good. Let me just change the okay, it's still on. Okay, let me just change it to the call queue. See if Marcus can get through.
Yep, I'm ready for your number.
810.
1-810.
666.
666.
1984.
19.
What a great number, huh?
Which was published in 1949, the book.
Oh, I thought it was 1948.
No, it's 49. Busy.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was getting when I was calling out. You could try again, but I doubt you're going to get through. But you could try. So, Bob, you can call. Bob,
your call cannot be completed at this time.
Please. Bob, you can try 902-400-1984. Now, I don't have a Skype number anymore. I gave it up a long time ago. And Bob doesn't have a microphone. How's that possible in this day and age? Oh, that's really annoying.
How about Telegram? Didn't you talk on Telegram with him?
But Telegram need... No, I could... No, it wasn't on Telegram.
But Telegram, can you patch Telegram in?
Well, Bob, if you want to call Telegram, you can try... Well, no, you have to... What do you have to do? You have to join an audio on Telegram. You could try that. But that doesn't have a phone number. Well, if you have a cell phone, Bob,
then... you need Skype. Get a Skype account.
Yeah, or just log into the Discord. Speak11.com/Discord. Yeah, sorry, guys. We should have set this up before, but I had to go get my exercise, and I wasn't really well prepared. And I didn't think the phone would be out. This has been a week. So that really sucks. Anyway, how you been doing, Marcus? How's your week been?
Stressful.
Yeah, feeling stressed here too. Tomorrow.
Yeah, so tell me about that. I thought it was today that everything starts with you, but now you're just about to set tomorrow.
Well, yeah, it's 9:22. For some reason, yeah, it's 9:22 it starts. The vax pass.
Okay.
That's when it starts, and something happens on 10:22. Can't tell you what it is because I don't know. So they up the game on 10:22. So maybe we're just getting the introductions. So we're getting the... Yeah, that's all I know. I'm purposely not really engaging with what they're going to be doing. But, yeah, you can feel the stress in the air for those that are aware. Now, I talked to a guy out of town... where I went to pick up my daughter and bring her back home. So she's back, thank God. And one of the things that occurred to me is I thought, you know, we are hyper aware of what's going on in our world, but I wonder how many people in the real world are absolutely oblivious to what's going on. So I asked the guy in the building she was in, I said, do you have any idea what's happening on 9:22? He said, no, what's going on? Yeah, they're bringing in vax passports. They're going to start. He said, what's that? So, yep. Totally clueless. So my idea is there's going to be many people that are just going to walk into their favorite store and a big hand is going to go up and say, show me your papers. And they're going to be stunned. So what do you think of that? Do you think
they'll be stunned at all. No, they'll be like, okay, so what do you need? Mm. Oh, you need the COVID card? Oh, I left it at home. Well, we'll let you come in this time.
Yeah.
But next time on the 10:21.
Yeah.
It's for realsy, as you like to say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do with the mask. If you remember, it's like, well, you need a mask. Oh, well, we can get you a mask. Oh, well, next time. We'll let you do it this time. But next time you need to do this.
I may have got through. Well, no. Oh. Well, maybe.
Hello.
Hey, Bob, you're there.
Yeah, I've been trying to call your number. Doesn't let me get through, but you're able to get back to me on the, what, the 666 number. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's the American number. I have it on my call display, 10666-1984. Yeah, the phone service has been down for a week. They're under attack. So if our call goes down, don't blame me.
All right, no,
we have a connection. Say hi to Marcus Allen from escapethenewnormal.com.
Hey, are you there, Bob?
He just dropped. Oh, well.
I'm telling you, he doesn't like me. I'm telling you.
I'll just keep dialing him. This will be the funniest.
Hello, yeah. Marcus. Yeah, I've been listening to you two guys talking for two episodes today, so I kind of feel like I know you a little bit now.
Oh, good. Good. I was super impressed with the call you did with Tim last time, but I was beyond impressed when you said, did you say you're 62 years old?
Just turned 65. I didn't know that was actually recorded and broadcast.
All calls.
Oh, that's no problem. I figured it was a possibility. No problem.
Bob, the information. I always record all my calls, so everybody knows. I try and tell everyone up front. I record all my calls. Now, some of them are not interesting, so I don't play everything. But, of course, you are extremely interesting, and we went for a couple hours, so it would be negligent of me to not publish it.
Oh, no, that's all good and stuff. I'll have to try to look it up. I don't usually like to listen to my own voice talking, but I'll have to try it out.
So you're 65 years old.
Yeah, I'm only a couple years younger than Mercola.
Yeah, he sounds good, too.
Yeah.
That's very impressive. I mean, I would never have guessed even 50 years old or 40 years old. You sound fantastic.
Well, like I was telling you before, with bioidentical sauce and of course, Amanda Vollmer's a magic potion of DMSO, you can drive it into the most transdermable parts, if you know what I mean. So
yeah.
I need to find out about that, because if it can cure type 1 diabetes, I'm all for it. I don't know what it is, so I have no idea, but I don't want to make this about different things, different health. I don't want it to be a health show, but yeah, that's something I am interested in.
Yeah, high D, lots of D3.
Yes, you're big on the vitamin D, and now that things are getting dark in the Northern Hemisphere, I think we have to start taking our vitamin D, don't we?
Yeah, that's right. I was out today in the backyard because it's warming up in the sun. But I definitely take a 50-thou cap at least every Saturday. And then the guy that runs VitaminDWiki.com, he takes one every Wednesday and Saturday. So he takes 100-thou a week.
Well, let me just say hi to Dirty Benny, Skate and Destroy, and Bad Saturday in the chat. Just shout out. I know people like to hear their... and acknowledge them. So there's your acknowledgement. Hi, guys. Thanks for joining. And let me check FacoTube and say hi to anyone on FacoTube. But go ahead, guys. Marcus, you want to lead off with something interesting?
I always want to be the dumbest. I always teach this to my sons. I always want to be, out of the five people you know, you're apparently, you know, you are the five people you hang out with. And I always tell my sons, you never want to be the smartest guy in the room. You want to be the dumbest guy in the room. And after that chat that you had with Tim, I felt like the dumbest guy in the room. And I said to Tim, I said, I would love to be the dumbest guy in the room on the next call. And that's why we're here right now. So you know a lot of shit. That's for sure.
Yes, he does.
Well, I've been trying to marry up the Ice Age Now guys with the alternative eugenics guys and stuff for 2 years here now, and I put out a pretty big email back in the summer of 2019 to Jim Fetzer and Robert Felix and Rolf Witzke and Christian Westbrook or whatever, Ice Age Farmer and David Dubine from DAP 23. This is a whole string of guys and stuff, and then I sort of got doxxed in effect on Rolf Witzke's site. I don't know if you looked that up or not.
No, I'm sorry, I'm behind. You sent me a million links. I'm a little negligent right now.
Yeah, if you ever go to that Extraordinary Evidence for Plasma Astrophysics on Ice Age Ahead, Rolf hot linked my name and an email right there and stuff. So. He said I inspired him to make that 13-part series just before he died. So,
wow.
So, you want to watch a seriously good rundown on how the universe kind of works with regards to ice ages and cyclical nature of the universe, Kirkland currents and stuff like that.
So, okay.
Anyways, I spent a couple of years pretty much on Ice Age Now, and we slid a bunch of links just like with sort of covertly into the comment section. And so about 10,000 people a day would come to that site and read all my diatribe.
Marcus, are you familiar with what he's talking about with the select? What is it? Ice Age? What is the main site you go to so I can punch it in?
Ice Age Now is gone now. Robert Felix wrote the two books, Ice, Not by Fire, But by Ice, and The Magnetic Reversals and Evolutionary Leaps. Just recently died in June, and we sent out tons and tons of links about vaccine dangers and everything, and then he went and took the Johnson & Johnson and died.
You think it was a direct result of taking the quacks?
I think he had some serious arthritis problems, and not sure if he was like playing Spock and doing it for the good of the many or whatever. I don't know what his exact deal was on it, because we were sort of like best friends online for just sending back sort of private covert jokes between each other and just publishing just a massive amount of, basically a lot of the stuff like what you've got on your site.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the guys, like, I don't know if you know Dick Rutan, the guy that flew around the world with he built the Quickie 2 and the plane that was powered by solar panels or whatever, he built that. He's a genius out of California guy, aeronautical guy. And then there's a guy, maybe the guy from Veritas, or INVA, whatever, Mark Sarkoos and stuff. Different. There was a bunch of different smart guys that would actually come in and write.
You heard of these guys, Marcus? Any of them?
I haven't. That's the one thing that I've learned, that everyone is starting to come together, is there's so many little parts, corners of the internet that I've never heard of. I mean, I've been at this, as you know, Tim, for a long time.
Yeah.
And all the things he's mentioning, never heard of it.
Yeah.
Well, but you've heard of Ben Davidson from Suspicious Observers, right?
No.
Well, that's...
I mean, I know Fetzer, I know Alex Jones, I know Bill Cooper, E.J. Edward, you know, Jekyll Island guy. I know all those guys.
Well, he just dropped again. Every time he drops, I'll just let you know. But I'm dialing right back. Sometimes it rings, sometimes it just goes straight through, so...
Yeah, I know... Davidson's site is a major link to space weather news kind of stuff, and then there's stuff like
what's that?
Anyways, the weather site Electroverse is where I would check almost every day to see what the local tectonics and extreme weather is like in the southern hemisphere, or with La Palma and stuff, the island that's erupting right now over in it's actually Spain, but it looks like it's Portugal, but.
So is this electroverse.net?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at now.
That's correct, yeah.
I take extensive notes, so if you got a link and you want me to put it in the show notes, just say the word.
Yeah, electroverse.net.
UK, UK fires up coal power plant as European gas shortage worsens, plus intense polar cold headed for New Zealand. Why don't they turn on their nuclear power plants, Bob?
Well, you just have to... It just brushes the snow off the solar panels and starts spinning the windmills and stuff. Yeah, I know it's a joke.
What's your opinion on nuclear power?
Well, it probably is the future. I know Rolf Witski figured that's where we go. Once we're sort of living in water world.
But why is France shutting down its entire, or why did Germany shut down its entire nuclear industry?
Well, just like us closing all our coal power plants and stuff, it's a giant eugenics operation right now. Canada's going to go right offline.
Well, I have a slightly different view of nuclear. I think it's a complete hoax, and I haven't changed my mind over many, many years. I don't think it exists.
I will second that. I agree. It's a complete. It's just a storage for excess electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it boils water. So I mean, definitely you can boil water, and it's a compact.
Yeah, but it's the source of the heat that is. The lie. It's the magic rods, I think, aren't real.
Oh, no. You don't think there's nuclear subs and stuff, then? You don't think... you think the Earth is flat, too, so...
No, don't... You can't ridicule me. Don't ridicule me by association. It's just that there's no... Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. That's my favorite phrase of the last few weeks.
Yeah, I've got that.
And no,
got
there's
that
no way to prove that there's any hot rods... boiling water in anything. And I go right back to Madame Curie, which, if you say it quickly, is mercury. And we're talking about alchemy, which is making something out of nothing, basically, or transmuting something into something else. And I just don't buy into the official story.
I went up to Uranium City one time in northern Saskatchewan when I was about 14 years old, and went to a mine tour and stuff in there. And
I'm not saying they don't mine, but... Yeah. I just don't think there are magic rocks. I'm not saying they don't go to all the extent to back up the lie. It's a monument. It's a monumental lie.
Yeah, I know. I watched a video of a guy playing with a source one time, but we use them like an oil patch all the time for like logging and stuff, or you know, sending out gamma rays and beta, all the stuff into the rock and measure the stuff, and we get pictures back from the responses on the scintillometers and stuff. So definitely there's something. You can set a source on your computer and it'll bother up your computer, because it's in fact, they figure maybe even a lot of the problems that people are having, that they're half radioactive and stuff. A lot of this looks like radiation poisoning, and not just graphene, but other.
Yeah, well, I just don't buy into the whole idea of, and it all stemmed from our research into nuclear weapons, which is a giant hoax, and then extended to see, the problems, there's so many problems around the nuclear story that make no sense. They only make sense if the whole thing is fake. Then everything makes perfect sense. The phasing in, the phasing out, Why?
What do you think? They've got gas turbines hidden in these nuclear power plants then that they're making
electricity? No. I think, as Marcus was saying, we just figure they're probably giant dump loads where when there's an excess, there's always an excess. So there's always excess power on the grid. That's just how it can withstand extra draw right away. So any excess power that they can't sell or trade or barter, they just boil it off. And I live right near a nuclear power plant. I haven't seen steam coming out of there for a long time, years.
Yeah.
So that.
Well, I knew there was a lot of stuff that they were saying that basically Hiroshima and Nagasaki were firebombed,
right.
And
yeah, makes more sense. Yeah.
Yeah, but, they look at a lot of this stuff. So I know I'm half on the fence with regard to nuclear weapons as well. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah.
I think they can make these rods heat up and stuff. I don't know. I think they put them in close proximity to each other when they pull them out of the drink, the heavy water stuff, and then when they set them down. Close
to each All other, a lie to me. All a lie.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to have to look more into that.
Yeah, look into it. Look into it.
I have an easy link. I actually just found, going back, we're reminiscing now, Tim, with the Hoaxbusters call with Jesse Waugh about nuke lies. And
right.
I'm going to post that into the show notes.
That was a good one. Really, I mean, after you learn that humans can easily be fooled, and he just dropped again, so I'll dial him back. I guess I'll save my, you already heard all this, so I'm not going to say it again. So when we get him back, we can talk about that or anything else, because now it's not going through easily. Boy, what a business, eh? Do you think that'll kill their whole business?
Yeah.
Isn't it dirty, huh?
Dirty. Competition is dirty. Yeah.
I guess it's cheap to pay a guy or a company just to attack. You probably, and it could be one of the big boys attacking him. How would you know? They got the power, the money, the resources.
There's actually a trick, which I won't reveal at all publicly, where you can DDoS attack any website in a click of a button for next to nothing.
Right.
Yeah. Like you could really just wipe out your competition very quickly.
Yeah, and you say Cloudflare is one way to protect, but
it's okay. I mean, it's free, but Cloudflare has all kinds of. They can shut you down just because they want to shut you down. I don't trust Cloudflare at all.
Right,
but I do use Cloudflare for my websites.
But then you could unhook from Cloudflare if you had to.
Yes.
Yeah, now I'm having a hard time getting a hold of Bob. Wow, I'm sure glad that I don't rely on a phone line for a business. Wow, and whoever runs this company better figure. I don't even know how you'd back up a whole phone system network to avoid what they're going through. All right, let's go to whatever topic you want to, Marcus.
I want to talk about. So I have a question. Speaking of all this stuff that you don't believe in. Anytime I hear people talk to you for the first time and they talk about chemtrails and you go, I don't believe in them.
Yeah.
They step back and they're just blown away. And then the conversation kind of gets awkward. And that happened with Bob. So here's my question for you.
Yeah.
Do you not believe in chemtrails because you don't think that persistent contrails exist? You don't think that persistent contrails have chemicals in them? What's your stance on that? I
need to see a mechanism. How would they dump tons of whatever they say they're dumping into there? To me, it's like pissing in the ocean. If I had to pee in the ocean, would it make any difference? Of course, I believe in contrails. I drive around the Toronto and the Buffalo Airport, and I can see easily contrails.
Here's the question. What about persistent contrails?
I think it has a lot to do with just the temperature. I don't think there's anything being dumped in the air because I know that the pollution that comes off an airplane, there's absolutely no pollution filters at all. So that makes sense. And I think it would be like peeing in the lake. No one would even, it would make no difference.
So I don't want to speak for you. However, if I was your best friend and I gave advice, which I don't, I think if you were to say, if people said, do you believe in chemtrails? I would probably say, I believe there are persistent contrails. Of course, they linger in the air for hours sometimes.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Are there chemicals in there? I doubt it. And I'm with you on that. I agree with you on that. But when you say I don't believe in chemtrails, I know the people I talk to behind the scenes who cross-pollinate between your website and John LeBond's website and mine. They're like, Tim doesn't believe in chemtrails. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
And it's not that you – and I'm with you. I agree with your assessment that they're probably not – there's no proof that chemicals are mixed into persistent contrails. But there's no doubt about that persistent contrails last for hours at a time. You agree with that?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Absolutely. I work at an airport.
Yeah.
A busy airport. And when it's cold, then these things tend to persist. And now that it's getting cold, it's cold in the atmosphere all the time. I realize that. And at different times of the year, it's cold at different altitudes. But for sure, on a clear blue sky day, I can see all the contrails from even the Buffalo airport. Because they fly sometimes north out of Buffalo, and I can see all of that. And Toronto,
because
a
contrail at most lasts 10 seconds, at most.
I guess, but it depends on the temperature.
No, no matter what the scenario is, a real contrail is it's about 6-7 seconds. I've counted it all my life. If I see something that lasts more than 10 seconds, then I know it's going to turn into a cloud. For 100% certain.
Okay. Oh, I think we got Bob back. Bob?
Okay.
Well, here we go. I'm dialing as you're talking.
Sweet.
Yeah.
We have to be. Yeah, have to be patient on that.
Yeah.
We were just having.
I just wanted to say something. I was listening in here. What they're blowing out the back is that coal ash, a big part of it, and I think they're actually mixing it with the people that they're putting in the blender. And I think it's kind of.
Okay. Okay, they're blending people. That's a little far out for me, Bobble.
Yeah, well, there's red blood cells coming down. So if you salt, small storm has given talks like that.
She said, I don't believe a lot of what Sophia Small Storm has to say. There's a lot of nonsense that she puts out.
That's true. Yeah, there's also a site that provides a lot of the material. I can't remember the name of it now. I sent it into a website, into Ellen Watt as well. But it's a major supplier of like powdered aluminum and powdered barite and stuff like that and stuff. So there's a lot of barium, barite, and the soils are going sky high. In the top of Mount Shasta, there's a ton of aluminum, like 60,000 times the normal background and stuff. There's a bunch of stuff coming up. Plus, they're saying you can watch one graphene skies with Wigington. And a lot of people are showing how magnetic the stuff on their windshield is now and stuff. So, there's lots of information with regard to, there's just so many thousands of pictures around the world, and people have made thousands of videos and stuff showing people making letter U's in the sky and figure eights and
all sorts. Well, I just don't buy it. I don't want to dwell on chemtrails, though, because I find it really boring, and it doesn't really do anything for me at all. All I know, for sure, there's a lot less activity in the skies, and it's been like that for a year and a half. So there's a lot less action. That is for sure. I do know that the exhaust from airplanes, I don't think there's any filters on it. They don't treat it at all. It is toxic. I think people that live near airports definitely aren't as healthy. And there is precipitate from the exhaust that lands on the ground. I see the highway walls around the Toronto airport. They're very dirty. But then again, there's a highway there too. There's tons. Yeah.
They're called high bypass fan jets. And so 95% of all the air that goes through it is pulled into the front and goes around the outside of the jet engine itself. And 90% of the time, if you see a plane going over that's not doing contrails, it has no trail, not even a contrail, because of this high air bypass fans that they've got now and stuff. So they're seriously efficient, but
But they do stink. I've worked around an airport near the tarmac, and the exhaust coming out of there will make you puke. It's really toxic, and it must be toxic because they don't treat it. Not like car exhaust. They treat the crap out of car exhaust, and same with diesel truck exhaust.
Auxiliary jet engine in the tail most of the time that they use just for charging batteries so they can start the main engines and stuff.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that are probably blowing out the most of the – it's just the generator that's on board there, the auxiliary. But, it's not the main jet engines.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get back to the task at hand. We are in the middle of a COVIDian takeover here, and every day is more seems as intense as the other. I'll give you, last night I wasn't here because I was a scrutineer at my local poll. I was counting ballots because I've never done it before, and I thought I would do that just to say, I know I have mixed emotions about voting, and I know it doesn't make a difference, mainly because every party is bought and owned by lobbyists and the corporations behind them. But I just wanted to see how manual counting is done. That's how we do it in Canada for federal elections. We actually have paper ballots, and you count them by hand. And I'm here to report that as a scrutineer, all I did was watch. I walked around and watched mostly ladies, older ladies, do all the counting, and it was totally on the up and up, and everything I saw was reflected by the results. I'm pretty confident in the voting system where I live.
Yeah, well, you can see the West was all red, which is probably believable, except for the far, far West Coast there and stuff. So, so what do you think? You guys didn't use any Dominion voting machines?
They don't use voting machines in federal elections. They never have. And people need to be aware. That's mainly why I went. I literally, this was my expectation. I was going to stay for I wasn't going to stay for the whole show because it was too late. But I stayed for 3 hours. And I figured once I started watching the ballots be counted, I would say after 100 ballots, I would know who's going to win just based on ratios. The ratios almost never change. And I saw the ratios come in, and exactly who I thought was going to win after just the first 10 minutes was who won, because I saw how the ballots were coming in. There was no streak of ballots, and I watched how people were voting and observed the whole procedure. It's totally on the up and up, and it can all be recounted and re-verified because it's all on paper. There's no computers whatsoever. And I think they pick up the phone and call in the numbers, so they don't even do it electronically.
Well, Trudeau was doing a pretty good job here and stuff, you know, like the drama teacher, ski instructor, funny sock wearing kind of guy and stuff. He's really been doing a great job of this whole COVID thing, I think.
Well, okay. Well, I wasn't really going to comment on that. I was just telling people about how counting works. And there's absolutely no reason, especially with low turnout states and counties, there's no reason to use anything electronic. It can all be done by hand. There's absolutely no rush. And then it can be recounted or validated if there's chain of custody with the ballot box. So it's not hard. That's so my
Fidel Castro's, Fidel Castro's son's back in again. Do you think that really wasn't selected beforehand somehow? As far as, do you think people across Canada, a majority of them actually re-voted that guy in again?
Yeah, I do. That's the problem. That's the problem, man. I see the people. I see who's out there. I'm not a very public person, and I don't interact much. That's just the nature of the way I chose my career. But I'm looking at the people lined up, masked up. I'm looking at the type of people, and yes, I do believe that this is the problem. That's why people like us are so rare, and we are being ruled by some pretty beta-cucked, programmed individuals. It's quite sad.
Well, I've used the line, eugenics works, ... it's okay, many times over the last couple of years here.
Well, eugenics are just propaganda works. That's the main thing. People don't understand, and they don't look into things. Marcus, do you have any comments on my scrutineering?
I don't think I would have wasted my time doing that because it doesn't matter. And I agree with you that it's probably legit. And they know, remember, they take the pulse of us minute by minute. They know what's going on. So they know that the vast majority of people are going to vote for Trudeau and they don't have to do anything. They don't have to rig anything. Now, there's no doubt about it here in the States that Trump won by a landslide.
I agree with that.
Have never voted in my life and don't care about either idiots. It's all just idiot theater. There's no doubt. I mean, no doubt about it that he won.
I agree. That was
clearly rigged.
But they wanted you to know that.
Exactly. It was
really
part of the psyop.
Yeah, they wanted you to know. And basically, what are you going to do about it?
Just like you get to see Chris Sky, because they want you to see Chris Sky, who's kind of a Arnold Schwarzenegger, Dudley Do-Right kind of a looking character. And
yeah,
I mean, if it wasn't for his bulk and stuff, those Like, you think cops couldn't get that guy out of the back of his car, and that was, he's got this all being filmed and stuff. They'd get the jaws of life in there and take him out like a sardine out of a tin can if they wanted.
I agree
him
with Bob. I disagree with Tim on
Chris
Guy.
I know. I think Bob. Yeah, I agree.
I agree with Bob. I think Chris Guy is totally controlled opposition. Totally.
Yeah, sure.
He's very good at it.
Everybody's just techmatized and bicepmatized and stuff. And you know, he's, like you say, he's. Some of the videos he's made with the guy where he's actually the guy who's in charge of Canada is
that was stupid. I don't know if he was playing everyone for a fool or he was fooled. I can't tell. But that was insanely stupid. And
he's a good actor, I think.
If he's as smart as he is and he was fooled by just the silliness that guy was espousing and saying he's minister of whatever whatever it was just total nonsense. So,
and even him saying that, you know, we're going to get these minimum income deals and they're going to expire. Well, Alan Watt was saying that in 2007 that I know of and stuff already, 2006-07 and stuff, that we'd be given a basic weekly income, and then if you didn't have it spent by the next Monday, you just lost whatever you'd never be able to save up. So that's nothing that he thought up.
I agree. But he is well versed in what's going on. I'm not going to take that away. He speaks very well, eloquently, and he does have just about the whole plan, and he reads it very clearly. And
does Alex Jones.
Yes, Alex Jones has as well, for the U.S., for sure.
And even Robbie Parker did a pretty good job standing up in front and saying, I think my kid just got killed.
I thought he did a bad job. He was one of the worst crisis actors. Yeah.
Speaking of Chris talking about Agenda 21, that's what I wanted to talk.
Go ahead.
Because I don't know how much time do you have tonight?
I think I could, I stayed up till midnight last night, so I think I should... We should go to maybe 9:45, so maybe 37 minutes if we can talk fast.
Okay, so I got two stories for you. First of all, and I learned this from hanging out with my buddies at the bar, mm-hmm. the ice hockey guys.
Okay.
And they said, speaking of laws and Peggy Hall and mandates and guidance and all that stuff, they said, did you know that if you get pulled over for a speeding ticket, that you can get out of it by just saying, officer, I was going safe? And the speed limit is just guidance. There's no law that says that you have to go the speed limit. And I've been waiting to get pulled over. I've been actually purposely going faster than I normally do. People think I'm grandpa because I go pretty slow nowadays. And I purposely went fast, and I was in Maryland, and I was in a 30, and I purposely went fast. I was doing 45 in a 30. And sure enough, I got pulled over by the sheriff. And I was very firm. And now the tip is I always put my keys on the front dash, and I always keep my hands on the steering wheel to show I don't have any weapons.
So you've done this before?
I've done this many times before.
Okay.
And I've always gotten a warning. But this time I was belligerent with the sheriff.
Whoa. Did you record it?
I had it ready to go because I thought for sure he was going to give me a ticket. So I said to him, he goes, you know, they always pull the dumb question. They go, do you know why I'm pulling you over? And you always say no. And he said, you were doing 45 and a 30. And I said, yeah, but I was going safe. And he kind of looked at me. And then I said, you do know that the speed limit is guidance. It has to say speed limit maximum for it to be a statute as a law.
All right.
He goes, license and registration, please. So I thought for sure he's going to write me a ticket. He takes literally 2 minutes to look over my license plate, run it through the computer, et cetera. And then he came back and he's like, I'm going to give you a warning. And I said, you just did the right thing, but can we talk more about this guidance? He goes, I really don't want to talk about it. Have a nice day, sir.
Oh, I never heard of that. So, okay.
The speed limit is guidance. There's no law that says you have, unless it says speed limit max. You've seen the signs where it says speed limit minimum. That's a law.
Yeah.
Speed limit maximum, that's a law. But speed limit on its own.
So it has to have the word minimum or maximum to be a statute.
Exactly.
In the U.S.
He probably thought you were one of his those sovereign guys and stuff and going to, you know, make it all a bunch of grief for him and stuff. So you're not really a citizen of the country and all that stuff.
Yeah, they don't. They'll write you a double ticket if you bring up the sovereign stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, but the reason why I tested that is because they were pulling over people left and right. It was a total speed trap. You're going off a highway onto a 30 speed, you know, speed limit.
Yeah.
And I mean, one after another was pulling over. In fact, when I left, I started talking to the people getting pulled over and told them, don't tell them it's guidance. And that you could see the sheriff getting very upset with me about telling people that. But the punchline is it's called getting under the hood. They do this in the auto industry. They don't care about doing a car inspection and making your $65, which they get $5 for. It's an excuse to get under your hood to find the bigger, more important stuff. Yeah. And that's really why these cops pull you over, is to find the bigger, more important stuff. And if they're going to deal with me, that means they have to go to court. Because they said, if you want to pull this with the judge, you can do that. And I said, I don't need to do that. I know I'm going to win. If you want to come with me, I'd be happy to take your time. That's why I think he wrote a very quick warning after 2 minutes. Hmm. So this leads to my bigger question about Agenda 21 for both of you.
Yeah.
We've always heard with Agenda 21 that they're going to rewild, which means that they're going to force everyone, as we know, into Agenda 21 smart cities.
Yeah.
And how are they going to get someone like me, or someone like my grandpa, or someone who's lived in the rural for all their lives? How are they going to get people off the land? Mm-hmm. Have you thought about how they're going to do that? Because I think I just found out the answer.
Well, yeah, I've talked about it.
So what do you think?
And even Rosa Corey's talked about it. Yeah,
but she never talks about how they're going to do it. Talked about the...
No, I think she has, or somebody around her has said it. Do you want to say something, Bob?
You know Rosa Corey died here already, right? But
Well, that's the story, yeah.
Yeah.
She was coughing a bit in our last few interviews.
I guess they could come out and say, okay, all your cattle have a mad cow disease and kill them all off, and your chickens are all infected, and then or else they make a fire upwind of you, and we got to evacuate, and they can do all sorts of different things and stuff. I know I'm out in the farm here myself. So
the easy way they can do it is just withdraw services to the area. Let the roads go bad. They'll remove the doctors, the hospitals. So then you have to come into the city. Yeah, they can raise the taxes in the area, or help, or bankrupt the municipality, or the or some of the rural areas. They take a lot of the rural areas have a lot of heavy transfers from some of the state or federal government. So yeah, basically they're just going to withdraw services, close hospitals, just make it really hard to live out in the rural areas. I believe that's
basically got the corrals closed on the cities now, and so once they finish up with the loading of the trucks in the city, then they can start to work on the countryside. But they're going to need a remnant of people maybe there's going to be way more food being able to be produced, relatively speaking. But China basically wants to take over North America as a giant farm or agricultural area and stuff. So because they've got, you know, 1.3 billion people to feed, and we're
well,
going
that's
into
what we're told. Are we close, Marcus? Yeah. Is that a close guess?
I am not so sure. As far as the roads go, and Alan, by the way, Bob, I have been listening to Alan Watt probably longer than you have. So I'm a big fan of Alan Watt too. Yeah. And I'm the one who does not at all think that Alan Watt has died.
Yeah, no, I said that to Robert Felix. I sent him a message saying that just the pen name died, because Alan Watt, that's not his name, you know.
That's right. So no, I don't think, you know, because Alan Watt always talked about how the roads are in horrible condition. He's totally wrong about that, at least here in the United States, because they are repairing roads at record breakneck speed. So, Tim, when you say they're going to have disrepaired roads, the opposite is actually happening, which makes no sense at all to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of the rural roads, maybe. Are you talking?
No,
about
I'm
the
talking
interstate?
I'm talking the most rural roads, mm-hmm. where in Maryland, New York, Delaware, and Pennsylvania, where we travel.
Yeah,
I'm always saying to my wife, I don't understand. I thought they're going to let the roads decay. They're fixing the most out of bounds roads I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, well, that's good.
So here's what I'm sorry.
All the roads up into Europe and stuff for the Roman soldiers to be able to march on. I imagine they're going to want to have good roads for the kind of equipment they might want to take up and down. You know, if they want to bring some Humvees or whatever out into the countryside and make sure they can come from farm to farm if they want to do it that way, you know.
But I don't. They always say that they're all the changes that are happening with Agenda 21 will be bloodless, and I don't think the military will be much involved at all with the changes that are coming. We have literally, as Alison McDowell, who I'm a huge fan, she's getting very much attacked, by the way, very much attacked.
Where?
Oh, my gosh. She had a person who, kind of like you and me, Tim, I hope that doesn't happen. She totally trusted him. He was military intelligence. He gave her a bunch of tips and stuff, and now he's gone completely flipped on her and, like, is going after her. Like, in a major way. If you go to her Twitter account, and I'll post it, you'll see it. It's really sad, actually, Alison McDowell. So, I don't think the military will be involved at all. And that's where Alison McDowell comes in. She has the greatest line. She says, you know, Uber is not a transportation company. It's a geofencing company. I agree with that 100%.
I know. You said that quite a few times.
Yeah.
And what do you mean by that exactly? You may as well
So you think of Uber, like you hail an Uber and you can travel anywhere in a rented car that's driven by someone else. No. If you don't have your social credit score with a green check mark, you can't hail an Uber. You're literally geofenced in your home.
Right. Sure.
No need for internment camps. No need for the military to block you from travel. You can't travel. So here's the link that I think is the answer to the question I just asked you, and I wanted to know what you guys think about it.
Okay. And I'll put it here into the view. I think you can see this, Bob, if you're looking on your computer. I'm not sure. Okay. Elizabeth Warren and Cori Bush are fighting an extremist Supreme Court on the eviction ban by introducing a bill to keep renters in their homes until... Okay. Is that what it is? Is that right?
So in summary, what they are doing is, up until this week, the Center for Disease Control of all organizations has prevented real estate people from kicking out people who haven't paid their rent in a year and a half.
Right.
And now they're facing lawsuits saying it's unconstitutional, et cetera, et cetera. So now they're flipping it from the CDC to the Department of Homeland Security.
Okay.
And they're basically saying no one who has real estate investments will be able to kick people out of their homes until the pandemic ends. To me, this is how they're going to pull off Agenda 21, is they're literally going to force someone who owns real estate to get out of real estate. In fact, I'm going to read something on Godlike Productions. I'll post that link also at the same time. Very revealing little post.
But how is that going to get people out of the rural areas?
They want to own all the rental properties and they want to buy everybody out. And so the Chinese are buying up tons of property in Canada and even the States and stuff. They're owning a lot. So you could say by 2030, they want to have everybody own nothing, right?
Right.
So they just have to keep printing enough money and people basically give in to a big enough number and then the government will own everything. All means of production will be done.
So let me read this. It's very short. Here's a post on Godlike Productions. It's called, "Here's Why I'm Selling My Two Rental Homes Right Away." Our government is taking down mom and pop landlords because they want the government, BlackRock arm, to own all real estate. That was already clear. This morning, Foxahontas, I like that, introduced a bill to reinstate eviction moratoriums, quote, as long as the pandemic lasts, but under the aegis of the HHS, the Department of Health and Human Services, because the Supreme Court said that the CDC did not have the authority. It's a libtard workaround. Here's a link, which I just gave you seconds ago. A few days ago, a Broward County liberal announced that his tenants would have to be vaccinated, and he didn't care what DeSantis legislated. I think he was encouraged to do this. Link to that. I don't think it has anything to do with the vaccinations. The punchline is this. Let's say I own a bunch of rental units and I am not able to kick out my renters for a year and a half now, and it's going to keep going and going and going. What am I going to do? I don't have the money to pay my mortgage.
Yeah.
So what do? I sell to BlackRock for 25% premium. And now BlackRock owns everything. And then when the pandemic ends, they kick everyone out and they have nowhere to go but to overcrowded cities.
Yeah, it's possible. But I don't know how much there's in the rural areas, there's not a lot of rentals. So that's it's mostly.
Well, that's it. It's not, it's in addition to rentals, it's someone like me who owns a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
See, right now there's a moratorium on mortgages too.
Yeah, and you can't sell cattle because there's no cattle market and everybody's eating bugs and they're
well, listen, you know, there's always going to be a cattle market. There's always going to be market for a good steak unless they just overinflate the price and then that'll just keep people away, or maybe we'll go back to poaching. Cattle wrangling.
Rustling.
Cattle rustling, that's it. Yeah. I mean,
We just put rustlers in the stew pot. Or actually, I got a dog that needs meat and stuff too, so I'm not too worried one way or the other. And stuff will that meat will get any distressed protein ends up going back into the food chain pretty quick. It's not a problem.
I really think just withdrawing services is enough, and then if it's just hard to get out into the country, but you say they're paving the roads, so this is a long term plan. It's a 100-year plan. So it's the plan for the next century. So we're only in, what year is this, 2021. So we got a long way to go. They got a lot of other priorities, like destroying the United States. That's going to take some time.
What we've got for this timeline that's coming up that makes things urgent, why we're having COVID and this climate change push right now, is because we are going into a grand solar minimum that's going to kind of, the 11-year cycle we're just going into now with almost zero sunspots at this point in the low between 24 and 25 solar cycle. It's going to peak at a much lower peak in 2025 here. Then after that, from 2025 down, they think it's going to go into some sort of a Maunder minimum or, there's a woman called Valentina Zarkova, and she wrote some serious paper. She's a Russian and seriously smart lady, speaks English. And she's put the cycles out, and of course all of the Ice Age guys are all up on this, right? The Witskis and they're dead now, most of these guys, but Robert Felix and Ice Age Farmer. And
does Marcus buy into the solar minimum? Because I'm not. I'm pretty.
No,
I'm not either.
You don't know anything about 200-year and 400-year cycles, or that there's like a 2 miles of ice over top of the Toronto Tower. For 90% of the time, you don't know anything about ice age glaciation. You guys are in the heart of it, like you're like the Great Lakes and the isostatic rebound, the Niagara Falls, and all that stuff's all from the previous ice age. That there things are still rebounding from that ice going back and melting, right? Yeah, no, I took a lot of geology, geophysics, and glaciation in school, tons of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just not buying into the fear porn about the next ice age or the next overheating wave.
Records are records and they're being broken. And for every one new hot record, they're getting 30 new cold records and stuff. And
I don't buy into any of that horse shit. Actually, the best guy to go watch on this, and he is so good at these, go watch Tony Heller. Tony Heller, unbelievable. Well,
if you click on my name, that was why Rolf Witski put my name hot linked into that article about plasma extraordinary evidence for plasma astrophysics, and made that 13-part series. If you click on my name, it takes you to a deal of four Tony Heller videos and stuff. And when I'd sent these to Rolf Witski, he was impressed enough that he thought that he'd make that in there. But he's been totally unpolitical in any way and stuff, except for that sort of one time and his whole website where he decided to link my name to get to the whole Tony Heller links and stuff. So
Tony Heller does the best debunking of the climate change hoax, hot or cold. He's the best.
You're right.
He is so good at doing.
He's almost like a Richard Feynman mentality and IQ and background with his where he grew up and stuff.
Well,
like
he
that.
Used so to he, be an environmentalist until he realized the scam. Man, those are the best kind of truth exposers. They're the ones that believed it the hardest, and then they got into it, and they saw that they're playing fast and loose with statistics, which is going on today with the health numbers. It's the best scam going because people just get dizzy talking and thinking about them. And Hold on. What do we got here? Here's an example of Tony Heller.
Hello, this is Tony Heller from realclimatescience.com. A new climate prophet has arisen. Twitter is promoting her today. Cyclones could soon devastate Europe, warned storm chaser climate scientist. She can see into the future, and it's looking rough. If we're going to have water that's 30 degrees Celsius, that's a lot of fuel for tropical cyclones to keep going and keep intensifying, she says. That sounds pretty scary. We better take a look at the water temperatures around Europe. Water temperatures in southern Europe are around 20 degrees Celsius, and in northern Europe they're closer to 15 degrees Celsius. You have to go all the way down to near the equator to find 30 degree temperatures. It looks like the latest climate prophet has a little bit of difficulty reading maps. This map from NOAA shows all of the known tropical cyclone tracks since the year 1850. There were a lot of them, but according to climate experts, one or two of these were caused by Donald Trump, most likely ones which were drawn with orange hair. As you can see, not a lot of tropical cyclones hit southern Europe.
Anyway, that's a taste of him. This guy, he's so good with just bringing up their own info and saying it's BS. And he's done so many times.
To float out another grumpy Grinch or whatever, another person, girl, whatever, some teenager and stuff, and she's the new mental giant on the planet for you know, not Tim Ball and not... Well, there's just a ton of these guys that are real serious weather guys that have been in the business for forever and stuff, you know. So, yeah.
That's why I'm not worried about the weather. I mean, even today they said, "Oh my God, there was a weather warning on the Toronto map," and I'll just bring that up. It's probably still up. It was up yesterday. Let's just see. Oh, rainfall warning! Look, it's all red. Guess what? It's going to rain. Oh my God, here we go. Let's read it. Rain at times heavy is expected, blah, blah, blah. Rainfall amounts 50 to 60 millimeters, possibly reaching 75 millimeters for those.
How many inches is that?
That's a couple of inches.
Yeah, that's nothing.
What? You know how big Antarctica is? Like
3 inches at the most. We're going to drown. Get your ark out, Noah. Give me a break.
But you know how big Antarctica is, right? It's like twice the size of the United States.
Big Antarctica is. We've talked about that before. I don't even know what's really down there. That's a whole other show.
Well, there's an Admiral Byrd that went there set up a base camp at the end of the 50s. And that base camp now is 100 feet down, buried under ice, that's how much accumulated since the late 70s or so. So it's definitely accumulating.
I don't believe most of that. Sorry, I'm not. I think there's.
Well, there's pictures of trains that they were using.
I've got pictures of planes flying into towers, I keep saying, so I'm not.
Cranes, like 100-foot cranes, and they can just see the tip sticking out where they, you know, were initially like on track.
I am so past photographic proof for anything, I can't take it at all at face value, Bob.
Right. No, that's right. We shouldn't go that right, because it's not compatible with.
Media fakery. This is what this blog is all about. This is what this site is all about. I mean, the number one thing we've learned is that people can be fooled with just a few statistics and a few pictures, if nothing else. That's why everything is so suspicious to me, and possibly Marcus too.
No, 100%. Yeah.
Remember we were discussing how much CO2 was in the air the other day there and stuff, and like they're trying to do. Most people say, there's like 30-40% CO2 in the air, and it's like one part in 2,500. And they're trying to demonize it, and it's the essential trace gas necessary for all life on Earth. Yeah. So you know that everything's just a psyop to basically bring in a carbon tax and just tax.
No, it's more than that. Carbon is code for human. When they say they want to get rid of carbon, CO2, they mean humans. Now that I believe. Mm. And how they're going to do that, they've got many, many streams. I actually posted something really good today on the blog, and it was an essay from 2009 called "The Dire Problem," and it's really worth a read. I'm not going to read it now. I read it on an audio chat earlier today. It was by Mencius mold bug, MM. So to me, it's just a pseudonym like Miles Mathis, MM.
Which is 33, by the way.
Exactly. But
if you turn the letters to the right.
That's right. But it's really well written. And basically, this guy is saying, if I was king, and I've said this before, how would I rule the world? And because there is a problem. And it's to do with technology and useless eaters and all that kind of thing. And he really goes on to say, well, if we can't kill the people by harvesting their organs to make use of them, what can we do with them? And this sort of reads, I don't know who wrote it, and I don't know what background they are, but it really reads sort of like what's going on today, which is 12 years later. And basically, the punchline is, if you're not going to read it, he says, we're going to be put in a virtual prison. And now you can see they are building that now all around us.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not a prison camp. It's basically going to be where you are now. You will be, like Marcus said, geofenced into your place. Yeah. And you will be literally put into a virtual pod. Mm-hmm. And that's how you're going to be controlled. And it's very, very interesting. It's just so well written. I can't really do it justice by giving you the short version of it.
I spent my whole career drilling holes, sometimes down to like 5,000 meters deep and some really deep stuff. And so we would core some of these at depth, and we'd core through like sand beds and gravel beds, right? So definitely, there was rivers that flowed through them before, and they were buried with sediment, and then there was rivers again and sediment. And so we can tell that there was glaciation from different things that happened, tectonics with lava flows, and like all of this stuff is all real. It's the only real tangible history that we have is the geological record, and you core through it and you lay it all out on the floor, and you're looking at it each segment, and we can definitely tell there's been different weather before, different ups and downs and stuff with the CO2 and just different things we can measure, plant growth or just the animal life and stuff, just a tons of different things. And so definitely got to get our heads wrapped around that we have glacial cycles. I mean, that's not a maybe. I mean, like down by Black Diamond, close to where Amanda Vollmer grew up, there's a giant set of rocks that's the size of like a gymnasium, and they come from Mount Edith Clavel, whatever, which is just 100 miles or something away, that got grabbed off the top of a mountain and then slid along with the top of the glacier, and then when the glacier melted, it just set itself down on the ground, 2 miles down after it disappeared and stuff. So they're just placed out there in the middle of the prairie now, and they're called erratics, right? And if you watch the first video of Rolf Witzke's section on extraordinary evidence for plasma astrophysics, he goes into that in Europe they found these erratics, and that's how they really came up on the fact. And so the globalists have known for however many times we've gone through this cycle before.
You still there, Bob?
Oh, yeah, I thought it was off there. Sorry. Oh. We've gone through this like at least 20 times, humans. In the last 2 million years, we've had 20 major ice ages where we've had 2 miles of ice over the Toronto Tower and the Calgary Tower. And then we've got these 10,000-year interglacial warm periods. And within them, we have these 200- and 400-year cycles like you've got in the, the 1600s and the 1300s, and where there's major famines and food shortages and stuff. So we're going into one of these again. It's not a maybe that this isn't going to happen again here.
I want to dig deep on what you just said. You said that there's a 2 mile ice something over a skyscraper in Toronto. Is that what you're saying?
90% of the time during the last 2 million years that we've been able to figure anyways, 90% of the time, that's 90,000 years out of every 100,000 years is what the cycle has been.
Uh-huh.
You got 2 miles of ice over the Calgary Towers in Northern Canada here.
What is a Calgary Tower? Is that like a shopping mall? What is that?
It's a miniature Toronto Tower.
It's a tall building like the Seattle Space Needle. They have one in Calgary. There's one in Niagara Falls.
So wait, so you're saying that a skyscraper survived a
no,
the weight
he's just
of a
saying t- there was that much ice over top
yeah,
of the city, and it melted.
It could have been over a
he's just,
or whatever.
He's just using that as a
metaphor. There's no pyramids in the northern hemisphere here. You don't see any pyramids except near the equator, right?
The Calgary Tower is 600 feet tall. You're saying there's 600 feet of ice sitting on top of most of Canada.
The dirt around, yeah, it could be on the pavement, whatever. I don't know. It doesn't have to be exactly 2 miles up, and could be 2.2 miles and stuff. It doesn't matter. It's just a matter of that there's 90% of the time in our world and on this planet, basically we've been in an ice age for at least the last 2 million years that we can tell here. 2 million years. I mean, we've had major ice ages, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of years, hundreds of millions of years before that. This planet's been here supposedly for, you know, at least 4 billion years.
Bob, have you heard of John Levy?
Yes. Not Levy. John Levy. Yeah, John Levy. Yeah.
Do you like his stuff? He goes into
the mud flood stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like that stuff. Our history definitely gets rewritten, like you guys are talking with Bacon writing the Bible stuff. You know, that all gets rewritten stuff whenever they need to.
Yep.
All social control, it's all social control. But what doesn't lie is geology, geophysics, tectonics, and volcanism. That stuff is real. That's happening.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with it. I can't even comment. I have no idea about it.
So speaking for Tim, and of course. So speaking for Tim, and of course he can speak for himself, I think what he's saying is, and I'll pull an Alan Watt reference, paraphrasing, Alan Watt will say the news will tell us that it's minus 10 on the thermometer during the height of winter, and they're just lying. It's minus 50.
Yeah.
And I think what Tim is saying is just because we're told that for 2 million years there's been 20 ice ages, blah, 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 there's no way that we can check it. There is no way to prove it. And I agree with Tim.
It's just a theory, and based on the stratification of rocks, and you're saying it's just someone's idea that this is what rocks may have looked like, and this is the period of time, and there's all kinds of other techniques like carbon-14 dating that's quite suspicious based on the half-life of the carbon-14 isotope. I know all that information,
yeah,
but
core Arctic and Antarctic cores, and they when they did core both of them, and they managed to see that there was volcanoes that happened and were logged at both the North Pole and the South Pole with the correlating ice cores and stuff like that, so they can and these things go back for so many, like they can only go back so many million years and stuff like that, and then only basically 2 million years as far as we can really tell and stuff. It's like 2 million years is still like zero in the history of the Earth. I mean,
Bob, I mean, do you think dinosaurs really existed?
I've read stuff both ways, and I've been to the like Drumheller, like you're saying before, you have too, and there's definitely I've saw cores where we popped open a core and there's a trilobite sitting dead center in the middle of the core, and I popped it off with my finger and it rolled across the floor, and the geologist said, "Oh, that's got to go back in the core," and I know he stole it later and stuff, you know, if you know what a trilobite is. But
no, what's a trilobite?
It's sort of like it's like a bug in effect, but it's a shelled kind of looking bug, and basically, it was almost the size of the core, which was like a 3-inch across core and stuff. So it was almost these trilobites got to be 3 and 4 feet long and stuff. This whole planet was covered with trilobites at one time.
I don't know.
A trilobite isn't, you know, this huge animal. It's like 3 inches across, right?
This one was, yeah. But they did find some remnants of them that were as big as a couple feet or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's been so much, like they're saying 99.9% of all species that ever existed before have gone extinct, you know, so we've got like millions of species on the planet now, but that's just a small percentage of all the ones that existed before, you know. It's just that lots of history and stuff. You know, there's no pyramids over top of, you know, in Canada, because, you know, when these ice ages come, anything that, you know, like I say, these towers aren't going to be up after the ice, 2 miles of ice comes and goes. Calgary and Toronto will be just smooth.
I'm not really. Are you worried about that happening anytime soon? Or are you more worried about your vax passport? I know what I'm worried about more.
Yeah,
well,
too.
Yeah, in the short term, that's right. But at the same time, when the ice age does cut down on food and stuff, I might have trouble getting
Bob, you're 65. I think you're out of the woods. I think you're okay on the next ice age. No offense. I don't think I have to worry about either. I don't think my great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren, if we ever make it that far, have to worry about it either. I think her...
Did you know that in Siberia and different Arctic areas and stuff, there's 300 million mammoths frozen, still with edible meat, in the permafrost up there, 300 million. Like and people go up there.
No, I don't know that. Do you know that?
People have been harvesting tusks out of there for years and years and stuff. There's like, there's all sorts of stories of people. They, in fact, they want to clone some of these guys and re-bring them back to life again. Some of these.
Now we're getting into what was that movie? Steven Spielberg was in the jungle, filmed in Hawaii.
There was one movie called 2012 and stuff, which was
what's that movie? God. Anyway.
Day After Tomorrow and then 2012 are kind of the two.
The one with Sam Neill, and I'm not good with movies. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Marcus?
I'm not good at all with movies.
Okay.
The point of Robert Felix's book is that I think it was like 90-some or 43%. I can't remember what it was. It was about 40-some percent. 40-some times he used the word abruptly. And that's the whole point of these mammoths are up there with buttercup flowers still in their molars and in their bellies undigested, that they were so flash frozen so quickly that and then preserved for 10,000 years. So, I mean, sometimes things come abruptly. You know, that's just the way things are. And if we have the cosmic rays are high now that we're going into solar minimum, you end up with high cosmic ray count, then you end up with more volcanism and earthquakes and then cloud cover and stuff. And then what's all you need to have is just a whole bunch more oceanic volcanoes take off, boil off a bunch of water. Doesn't have to get any colder.
Jurassic Park.
Just more water has to come onto the planet that doesn't melt through the summer, and you've got yourself the beginning of an ice age.
If you're talking about a flash frozen event, why worry about it? You're not going to make it. Why worry about it?
Well, I'm not worrying. I've got to deal with a government that's trying to cull in preparation for a mass starvation Mad Max situation. They want to eugenically high grade the best and stuff so they can still have some infrastructure to run their yachts and run Fiji hotels and stuff for them and stuff, and then whatever they want to keep at the equator. Because I mean that's the whole point of taking over the equator, equatorial area, and then move all of these. Equatorial people, Muslim types, have removed them up into Northern Europe and Canada, and we just play trade in places with them, you know. So, and plus,
I got in trouble with my family, maybe a decade ago, and I was totally wrong. I scared the crap out of them that a tsunami was going to hit the East Coast here in the United States.
Yeah. Yep.
And of course, it didn't happen. And now I'm thinking back, it's like, what are you going to do if there's a tsunami? There's nothing you can do. Why worry about it? Why even talk about it?
Well, like I say, there's some people who say, well, I'm not going to hang around the coast. I'm going to go inland and stuff and then avoid that. Because right now there's a 500 cubic kilometer block that's set to go in Las Palmas that's having a major volcanic event right now. Which is an Electroverse. If you go to Electroverse, they'll put it in the news, but the other papers won't. But if that 500 cubic kilometer block hits the drink, the whole East Coast and West Coast of Africa and a bunch of South America will actually get about 100-foot wall of water coming toward it.
Okay, so let's go with that. Let's say that happens to Canada, or let's say that happens to me in the United States. So it wipes out. It wipes out the East Coast, the West Coast, Florida, blah, blah. Why would you want to live through that? It's like people who prep and bug out. It's like, oh, I'm prepping. I'm going to bug out because if I have to live underground for a year.
We're prepping to avoid a government that wants to cull you during a eugenical event right now. Like this is like the cattle are being rounded up right now and being selectively eliminated. Because they don't want to have this many people to deal with and possibly bugger up their underground military bases and their Caribbean and Mediterranean Club Meds and stuff like that. They want all of that to be pristine. They want the infrastructure to maintain, especially in the equatorial regions and stuff, because they've got if this isn't a maxi ice age, it'll be a mini ice age, which could still last a couple hundred years, of seriously shitty weather.
Yeah.
But right now, we just make it too cold.
I think that's why I don't care for these ice age farmer types, because it's just absolute fear porn.
Yeah.
That never comes true.
No, all of it's coming true with regard to the cull.
That's another thing. I don't know if you've listened to me in the past, but I look at the funeral numbers, the obituaries.
Yeah.
And right. They're actually going down. In fact, this month, it's the lowest it's been since I've been monitoring it since COVID started in March of last year. So if there's this cull going on, how come it's not reflecting the number of obituaries in the three in my local area with three funeral homes?
Yeah, he went away. Actually, we are at the end of the clock anyway. Sorry, Bob. Bob can hear us because he's still logged into the studio, but it is 9:45. Did we have any?
So, what do you think, Tim? Wrap up. I mean, do you agree with me? This is fear porn, isn't it?
I agree. It's fear porn. However, I do know people are getting hurt.
Hurt, no doubt.
They're getting hurt, but I don't know if the death rate is any worse than it was before. That's the difficult part. I do know one person that did die via a friend of mine who I do trust, but that person was already ill, but he's still in his 50s, and he did have one of the vaccinations. So I think that I don't think in the past I've ever known so many adults that get an injection. Let's put it that way. I know there's always been flu shots for older people, but I think that anyone is sort of on the borderline health-wise. I think an injection can be dangerous. Any injection, because whatever they're pouring into these things is probably the extra thing as well that can potentially hurt people. So I don't know if people are dying of it, but and you're saying that the funeral home rates aren't going up.
This month is the lowest it's been the entire time.
But on the other hand, we heard of the funeral home guy in Milton Keynes, England,
mm-hmm.
who said he was pulling bodies out by the two a day. And this was all because of the COVID protocol, which I believe
right,
is
two
a real
a day
thing.
is nothing. Like no, if there's, no, it's he, not statistically relevant. If there's a 20% increase in anything in life, that literally isn't statistically relevant. You have to be 1 times, 2 times, 10 times, 100 times.
Yeah.
At 20% is basically a rounding error.
But I don't know if that increased his statistics. He was just saying the mechanism that he discovered when he went into these places to pull out the body. He found the Valium type painkiller, and then all that kind of evidence. But anyway,
yeah. The average funeral home in America does a half of a death a day.
Mm-hmm.
So basically 3 a week. So if it's double and it's now 6 a week, statistically that's nothing.
All right. So there's no extra people dying, but you don't think it's being accelerated by the vaccination?
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I hope so. I'm like Jeff Berwick, the dollar vigilante. If people are so stupid that they're going to emotionally make a decision that can kill them.
Well, they're being coerced. It's a coercion.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. Have you been coerced? I haven't. Have you?
There is my family intense hasn't. Coercion going on. Now, I'm a little more resistant because I'm researching the thing. But if I wanted to get on with life, yeah. I can see why people are submitting. It's easy to understand.
No, I'm not saying it's not easy to understand. What I'm saying is there are people who don't want to hear what I have to say about the safety and efficacy of mm-hmm. this vaccine.
Right.
And then they hear all these people and they go, oh, those are just conspiracy theorists. They've been hit from many different angles. Hey, maybe before you take that vaccine, maybe you might want to take a look at this, and they refuse. If they're refusing, then they deserve what they get. That's the way I look at it.
Right. Well, I think something's happening, and I put a lot of these videos on FacoTube. And but is it changing the death rates? It's hard to tell because so much else in society's been changing. You know, there's less driving and all kinds of other things. But I don't know for sure. That's the bottom line for me. Anyway, any closing comments? Sorry, Bob, I just can't get back through to you right now, but thank you very much for coming on. It's interesting. We're not on the same page on a lot of the climate fear porn, and I think Tony Heller's the best to illustrate that, and I'm not sure about the ice ages. I'm not buying it for anything for me to worry about at this time.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. And again, if the East Coast and the West Coast of the United States go bye-bye because of tsunamis, because of whatever, why would you want to live? It's the whole prepper thing. The preppers are like, oh, we had to go underground for a year and survive. I can't make it a day in my house if it snows, let alone a year. I don't want to live in that. So I'm not going to worry about that. If it happens, take me with it.
Well, you could buy a snowblower, though. I think it'll be fine. You can melt snow.
If you're going to get a tsunami that's this 100-foot wave and it's going to wipe out Florida, the East Coast, and the West Coast, you don't want to be in that area after that happens.
I think to build a house right on the water in any water situation is not a great idea. But most of the time, you can walk out onto the beach. It is nice. It's convenient, but Mother Nature can have some bad days, and you're going to get lashed. So, it's almost as dumb as building on a floodplain. Yeah, the river probably floods once every so many tens of years, maybe every 50 years. But that's why it's called a floodplain. It floods. The river rises when there's tons of water quickly, and the ground can't absorb it fast enough. We get that. That happens in Toronto. If you look at the geography of Toronto, we are a city of hills and valleys. We have so many creeks, waters running into Lake Ontario. It's crazy. And it was very hard to build a grid on top of it without millions of bridges. And there's underground creeks that were built on top of, just landfilled. But if our ground ever became super saturated, if we had, and we're talking epic amounts of rain, then everything starts to liquefy and then things can start to go wrong and bridges get washed out. That does happen because you don't realize that's the geography of Toronto because you don't really notice the bridges and all the little tiny creeks that are running all over the place. But that was what it looked like. It would be very interesting if you could take away the cover of the city concrete and see what the geography really looks like. It's just hills and valleys, up and down, up and down. You actually notice them in the winter when they turn to ice, all those big steep hills, all of a sudden you really notice them because you can't get up them. And that's all
over
Toronto.
You mean when it snows? When it snows?
Yeah, snow and ice. When the salt truck doesn't come by, even the smallest, you start to notice the smallest hills. So that's the geography.
I'll finish on this note. Speaking of that, have you heard about the city in Mexico that is sinking?
No.
Okay, so I'll post this into the chat.
Boy, I thought we were talking about COVID. We're talking about a lot of weather crap tonight.
That's true. But what more can you talk about with COVID? What else is there to talk about?
Well, just how we're going to survive all the restrictions on normal people's lives.
Have you considered the fake passport?
Not really, no. Mm-hmm. Not really. I don't know anything about how to get it, or I know I've read there's a website, but not, I guess I'm going to have to look into it maybe, but no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so back to the city sinking thing. So you just posted it.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my family about this and said, I'm not buying this. So what I did is I went to Instagram and I went to the city in their Instagram tag because they show these buildings, they're crooked and all that kind of stuff. And I went to Instagram and I believe Instagram pictures are for the most part real. Yeah. And there wasn't a single picture of an uneven building on the Instagram thread.
Wow.
So then the question is, why are they pushing this? Is this more climate change nonsense? Oh, Mexico City is sinking.
It's a huge city, though.
I know.
It's one of the biggest cities. Yeah, it's 22 million people. Mm-hmm. I don't even have any idea what the natural geography is of that city. I don't even know. I don't know anything about it. All I know is there's tons of people in there and they're living on top of each other. It's very dense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So back to the COVID thing real quick.
Mm-hmm.
There are tons of people waking up. I have never seen anything like
it. Right. What is the
so
main
the question
thing
is,
what's the main thing driving that? I think it's the number of vaccines that they have lined up. I think people are really scratching their heads on why all of a sudden am I going to be on a subscription plan to vaccines? You think that's it?
I think it's more of a tipping point of the injuries.
Oh, okay. You think there's enough people that know enough people?
Yes.
And they're not buying that it's the unvaccinated that are causing their problems?
Because I don't think we're at that point yet. Although I think that will be the killer. That will kill this whole thing. Mm-hmm. It's just that they were told, oh, if you get injured, it means it's working.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're overplaying their hand. The medical industry is overplaying their hand. And people are like, wait a second, maybe it's not really working. I'm seeing a lot less people saying, I got injured, but I'm still going to take it to now I got injured and I'm definitely not taking the second shot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's this rush. I've always said it's the, you know, IPS calls it the schism. I agree. I believe it's the rush. It's the rush to the finish line, and the globalists are rushing this out. Just today, I don't know if you heard Apple announce, I'll post it in the notes, that they put the vaccine passport on the iPhone, like we talked about last time.
Oh, okay.
And it's very loose. It's like, well, it's a lot of the commenters who are pro-vax are saying this is BS because it doesn't even tie into proving that you got the vax. It's this, you know, all these different agencies, you have to tap into their database. It's not really easy. Again, they're rushing this through.
Yeah. Well, there is no central database anywhere.
Exactly.
Public health is county by county. There's over 3,000 counties in the United States.
Exactly.
And they're not, unless they secretly built the infrastructure while we were not paying attention, and they've linked them all together, and the federal government has created some unconstitutional overbearing agency like the TSA, and I guess they do have Health and Human Services federally, I just don't see how it's going to be implemented right away. Even in Canada, public health is provincial. It's not federal.
What does that mean? Is that county by county when you mean provincial?
Provincial means, well, we don't really have a county system here. We have cities, we have municipalities, which are larger, more spread out areas that they call them. But provincially is like is statewide. That's the best way. But we have... Okay. Cities have public health units, like Toronto's big enough that it has a public health unit. And some of the bigger cities, say with 500,000 or a million people, have public health units. Or regions have public health units. So that's every province is supposed to be doing their own passport. And so there's no real linking. Now, in the federal government, even here, it's not really their jurisdiction to implement it. They're being asked to. They're giving all the money. They're spreading all the federal tax dollars down to the provinces to implement it. But how is there going to be a database? And I think in the end, they want a worldwide database. So you can just go from here to the other end of the earth, and there would be an electronic database that would be recognized everywhere. So everyone would be feeding into it. It'd be like Microsoft Outlook. You know, obviously Outlook is their big, or Hotmail is their big email platform. And that's sort of the level of database worldwide that they want. And that's a tall order to get it going. So who knows how it's going to really plan out or pan out. Hopefully not mm-hmm. well.
Right.
And United Noncompliance.
You can go, you know, for solutions to this in the temporary.
Mm-hmm.
There's tons of QR code generators online.
Right.
You could literally go up to someone who is vaxxed, a friend of yours.
Right.
And say, hey, can you show me that QR code thing that shows that you're vaxxed?
Mm-hmm.
And you take a picture. I don't know how this works on Android, on the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
You just take a camera shot of that, and it'll tell you what the barcode contents is.
Right.
And then you plug that into a QR code.
Yes, and generate it.
You print that out, and now you have stolen your friend's QR code.
Right. And maybe it'll make the we don't know how it's going to be implemented. Obviously, at the beginning, there's going to be huge security holes that will – that's the whole idea of making it roll out is so they can plug the holes. And they've already started making threats, at least in that letter from Lithuania that I posted last week.
Mm-hmm.
They're already saying, oh, if you do this, it's a federal crime or whatever. So they're already spreading stories that don't even bother. They have thought this through. I think we know that much. They have thought this through.
It's so sloppy. It's so sloppy.
Yeah, but it's up to each individual jurisdiction to implement. And that's
which again makes absolutely no sense. Again, on 9/11, everything was perfected.
Mm-hmm. But it was a much smaller operation, don't you think? Compared to this. This is worldwide.
As we talked about last time, and which is just happening today, Apple could roll out something and mm-hmm. it's worldwide.
That's true.
So they roll it out and it's not worldwide. It's worldwide as far as the capability of adding your QR code to the wallet, the Apple wallet, but it relies on tens of thousands of databases to choose from.
That don't exist. Yeah. Well,
that probably don't exist.
We don't even have a database for that here yet.
Right. Yet.
They were just using yellow cards for children, at least, that were signed mm-hmm. by any nurse. You could sign it.
Yeah. Just going way, way, way too fast. This is very unlike them. That's why I'm hopeful.
Especially if there's rioting everywhere like there is in Melbourne. That was mm-hmm. good to see. My wife mm-hmm. was pounding me with video. She searches hashtags for certain things
mm-hmm.
and sends them to me. And I usually don't watch them, but especially because I don't really want to see that come here. But I guess it will if people are told they must do this to survive, which is completely insane.
I was going to ask Bob if he knows about the Langdon Firehouse Bar and Grill in Alberta.
Yeah, well, he's off the line right now, so we'll have to catch him on the next time if he wants to join in.
But basically, the headline is Alberta bar closes after overwhelming number of threats after opting into Vax Pass. And I'm seeing this all over the place. You see in New York all these Twitter videos.
Yes.
People beating the shit out of the hostess because they won't let them in because they don't have a vax pass.
Well, yeah, verbally. Yeah, I saw some verbal beatdowns. But, yeah,
No, this is physical. I got two of them that were physical.
Oh, wow. Well, mm-hmm. I'm not happy about violence, but that's what they are creating. A segregated society, it's never going to work out well. Medical segregation and... Especially since a lot of the blacks, maybe up to 50-60%, won't take it, and they just don't. They are just absolutely offended by being kept out of a place. It just brings up too many more recent memories than anything can happen to white people, for sure.
For sure, yeah.
They just associate segregation, not even medical segregation. It's just you're being kept out because your skin color is more skeptical about any of the effects of this thing, and rightfully so. And then they could just morph it into a racist thing, even if it didn't originate as a racist thing, they could turn it into that. So that's where things can get some major opposition, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's good.
It's a race to the finish line. That's the punchline here. It's a race to the waking up And yeah. And again, when people say the oh, it can't be violent, let's not entertain that, they're poisoning us. That is as violent as it gets.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And they might be doing and the poison, and we're still trying to figure out how they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be a very insidious, slow poison, or if your health is already really fragile, it could just be much more catastrophic because you're already on the edge with all your other health problems and all your other medications. I'm pretty sure the guy at the drugstore isn't asking for your existing health conditions. You're not, yeah. It's not your doctor. The pharmacist isn't asking for your medical records where he says, oh, you've got, you're on this, you're on this, you're on this, you're on this. A lot of senior people are on tons of meds already.
Oh, yeah.
They're on a huge cocktail. Who knows? You add one more little whatever it is to the cocktail, it might send your whole system flying. It's crazy.
I want to get back to, because I know you're out of time. Yeah. I want to get back to the violence thing.
Mm-hmm.
We literally have the quote unquote president of the United States.
Oh, he's awful.
Whipping up
yeah.
a crowd to say, you can go kill, basically you can go kill anti-vaxxers. They're trying to kill us. You can go kill them. You can go onto Twitter and you can see post after post after post that anti-vaxxers should be killed. They're never deleted. So it's okay to be violence, to threaten violence on that side. But if I bring it up because I'm like, hey, listen, they're trying to kill us, maybe we should do something about that. Oh, then I get blocked and censored. That just boggles my mind. You're the president of the United States whipping up a certain population to do harm to people like us who are savvy enough not to take a poisonous jab. That is beyond violent. But that's okay. I'll end with that.
Yeah, Biden is just a joke at this point. And just the things he says, you can't even get through a speech without just finding a million problems with everything he says. The lawyer from the Quash, he couldn't even get through a speech. It aggravated so many people, but he's also just as bad as the orange man bad at dividing people.
100%.
And it seems a little more unbelievable because he's supposed to be this nice old grandpa that doesn't offend anyone, but he's even worse, much worse.
Who is?
Biden.
Because, worse than Trump, you're saying?
Yeah, he's worse than Trump because you wouldn't expect, you're not expecting it. We expect outrage from Trump, but Biden is just saying so many inflammatory things. That's usually how it's done. It's the guy that you don't expect to do it that does all the harsh things, like go to war.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah, I'm just looking at a Twitter feed for violence, vaccine passports, and yeah, there's tons of it.
Tons, and Twitter allows it.
Right, they're happy to. They're they're. This is to help divide and create chaos in the nation, and what the result will be, we'll have to see.
But if I dox the an official from the IMF and say here's the guy who's doing it, I will be completely gone in seconds.
Mm-hmm. So they're allowing completely. They're allowing a lot of this to percolate on purpose.
On purpose,
which is sort of like what George Soros and all his NGOs are known to do, I suppose,
mm-hmm.
and allowed to do,
mm-hmm.
like BLM, that kind of thing. Burn it down.
Antifa.
Put a skid of bricks in front of a glass building. Just leave it there. See what happens.
I know. How can that should like end everything. That revelation that he put the bricks there and that's what – that should like end this all. But no, it just keeps going on and on like it never happened. Unreal.
Yeah. All right. It is getting late. We're going to have to wrap this up. Thank you, Marcus, for joining.
Thanks for inviting me, Tim.
EscapeTheNewNormal.com. Thanks to Bob. And he has electroverse.net. It's not his site, but he recommends electroverse.net. I'm not quite on board with any climate change stuff, but Bob was laying a case, and that's something he's very interested in. But it's not really my area of expertise. I don't think Marcus is into it either at the moment.
Yeah, a lot of fear porn there. I don't buy into it. Yeah.
And there's more immediate problems right now we need to get through. Way more. All right.
Way more. Yeah.
September 21st, 2021. We'll be back tomorrow at 8:30 with somebody. Somebody will be here. If it's not me, just going through the blog and FakeoTube. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of good stuff to talk about. All right. Have a good night and see you tomorrow. Take care.